Well, hello there. Welcome back. By now you have a list or you have a new idea of the person that you show to the world and the real you, the person inside. Are those people the same? Are there differences? What are the differences? Are you more willing to share certain parts of you with friends and family and hide other parts of you? This is all just about developing the self-awareness so you can recognize your patterns. And so when you get stressed, when things get challenging, you actually know the language of self-awareness so that you can do something about it, so that you have an eye on what's happening within yourself and how to move forward in a more productive, happier way. So we're going to switch gears now and understand that this is not something just in your head, right? If you're feeling stressed, overwhelmed, anxious at times, irritable, down with apathy or no motivation, this isn't just because, you know, there's something wrong with you and that your thinking isn't clear, right? That might be a symptom, but let's talk really specifically about what's happening in the body when we are going through something stressful, because this is a physiological thing. So you see, we all have stress in life. It doesn't matter who you are, how lucky you are, how privileged you are, or unprivileged you are. Stress finds us no matter what. It's just a part of the human experience, right? And it doesn't really matter what is creating stress. I work with a lot of people who like to compare their stressors. They'll be like, well, my stressor is much worse than that person's situation. So why do I feel like this? I don't have any right to feel this bad when that person has gone through something way worse or much different than I have. And that is not a good argument in my book, because what we know is, you know, everybody's stress is triggered by different things. We are different people walking along the planet. Sometimes our stress is triggered by similar things. But what matters is that physiologically, what's happening in our body, we have the same general reaction, no matter if someone's stress is quote unquote worse than ours. So I want to talk today a little bit about what is happening in the body when we are feeling stress. There are two types of stress. There's an acute stress, which means there's one event, it was short term, there was a beginning, there was an end, and then it was done, right? And then we have chronic stress. Chronic stress is things that are long term in nature. They may have multiple events associated with them. There may be repeated stress in that situation with no clear ending. So if you've ever lived through a stressful work environment, a stressful relationship, a stressful family situation, right? That's what a chronic stressor is. And the thing about what happens in the body is that they both trigger the exact same physiological stress response. So let's talk about specifically what that is and what's happening. So I want you to imagine right now, wherever you are listening, maybe you're in your car or maybe you're at home or in your office, a big, strong, bulky, growling Rottweiler, one of those big ones that you look and it just makes you want to take a step back, and I'm a dog person, right? So you have this big growling, barking, he's doing that position where he's lurching, kind of down on the ground, looking at you like he wants to eat you, and he's salivating, he has foam at his mouth, and he's barreling through the door wherever you are right now. So I just want you to imagine this big, scary dog. He doesn't have a collar. He's not under control. You don't see an owner. He's coming. He's looking at you like you're going to be lunch, right? So imagine that dog coming at you right now, or that you're looking at that dog. What do you notice happening in your body, in your mind? What are you going to do when that dog comes? How are you going to prepare for when this dog is coming? Are you going to get up? Are you going to stand on the table or the desk where you are? Are you going to look for the nearest weapon? Maybe it's a chair or an umbrella. Are you figuring out a way of how you're going to get out of wherever you are right now, get out of that room? And as you're doing that, what would you be noticing in your body? There's a whole cascade of physiological things that would be happening automatically. We don't really even have to think about, oh, is this dog scary or not? What should I be doing? Maybe I should be moving differently. Maybe I should be breathing differently. Our body just reacts, and we need that reaction in order to survive. So let's talk about what actually does happen. When that dog is coming through the door, we are motivated to do whatever it takes to get through it and to survive it. We are either going to mobilize to fight the dog, right? We might stand up, find a weapon, get big, get loud, go right at it, right? We may mobilize to get the heck out of there. And we may actually also have a response called the freeze response, which is that deer in headlights feeling, right? When your system is overwhelmed and you kind of get frozen. I know that certainly happened to me in a situation that I had in my life, kind of like the computer screen is frozen and all the programs are running at once. That's what the freeze response is. But in the fight or flight response, there's a few things that are happening automatically, and this is all run by our autonomic nervous system. Now, there's no science quiz at the end of this module, and it's okay if you don't remember the details, but why I'm explaining this is because I want you to understand the biological basis of what is happening when you are experiencing anything stressful. So the things that happen in this response, this might be review for you. You may be a paramedic, for example, or have some medical training. And that's okay, because once you start applying it to your own life, you start to see and experience this response in a completely different way. So when that dog's coming through, it's activating you to do something, your pupils dilate, right? They get bigger. They start looking around. Where are my exits? Where are my weapons? How do I get out of here? Right? A couple other things. What happens to your heart? That's right. It starts pumping faster, right? It beats harder. It beats faster. Your blood pressure changes. And something happens within your circulation. The blood flow, the blood that's normally in your extremities, in your fingers and toes, rushes into your major muscle groups, like your thigh muscles and your core, to protect what's vital and also to mobilize these big muscle groups so you can kick, so you can run and survive. Something else happens, that your stomach, right, your digestive system, say that three times fast, your digestive system shuts down. It says, I don't really care what we had for breakfast today. There's a situation. So it just stops and changes its resources. What happens to your muscles when that dog is coming through the door? Are they relaxed? Are they easy breezy? Absolutely not. They tighten up, right? They tense up and they mobilize us for doing something, for defending ourselves in some way. People who have gone through stressful situations often report having cold or clammy hands and feet. That may have happened to you. Maybe you've been giving a presentation and noticed your hands are getting clammy and kind of weird feeling. That's a result of those circulation changes and that response in the nervous system. What happens to our breathing when that dog's coming through the door? Are you breathing calmly, slowly? No. We're breathing quickly, shallowly. I'm being a little dramatic, but that's what's happening in the breath, right? Quick, deep, deep breathing, not super deep, but quick and shallow, faster. Your breathing picks up, right? Our bowel and the food movement slows down. Our blood pressure increases. Our major vessels dilate. Our saliva, the flow of our saliva decreases. We may have chills and sweating, and all this stuff happens automatically, run by the sympathetic nervous system. Right? There's two parts of the autonomic nervous system. The sympathetic, which is pedal to the metal. There's a situation, time to respond. We don't have to think about it. We don't have to tell ourselves to breathe differently or tell our muscles to do something that will help us in that situation. It just happens. And then there's the parasympathetic nervous system. This is kind of like your brake system. So once the dog is removed, or you've subdued the dog, or you've gotten out of there, the body is designed to naturally want to get back to that balanced state. It doesn't want to be revved up anymore in that hyperarousal on guard response. There's a few other things that happen in that on guard response that maybe you have noticed in the past too, right? We get that jolt of adrenaline, right? And it also includes a bunch of other stress hormones that help motivate our entire system. So once the dog's removed and that brake system, the parasympathetic nervous system, starts to kick in, the body comes back down to normal. Pupils return to their normal size. Circulation picks back up. Blood pressure comes back down to normal. Heart rate starts beating at a more normal pace. Breathing slows down. Digestion picks back up. And the body is designed beautifully to do this dance between knowing when it has to activate and knowing when it's time to rest and restore itself. Oh, if anyone has ever had a stressful experience, which if you're listening to this, I'm guessing you have, when we're in that stress response for a prolonged period of time, maybe it's been a crappy work situation or ongoing conflict with a person in your life or any number of things, if we've lived through trauma or big life events, divorces, car accidents, or we have a very stressful job where we're having to do and see things that are overwhelming on a repetitive basis, the body's system starts to adapt to the brain signals that the alarm bells are going off all the time, right? In that fight or flight or freeze response that is often happening, right? It's like the alarm bells are going off in the brain and we're always activated and waiting for the next shoe to drop, for the next dog to come through the door. Right? So if you've ever watched a nature documentary and you're watching an antelope, you know, chew and eat with its herd across the plains of Africa, and then you see this lion lurking about to pounce on it, about to eat it for lunch, right? And in the course of this documentary, you're watching this antelope run for its life with all of its might, right? It's in a run for its life. You're watching it scramble. You're watching the lion do twists and turns in every direction, right? And if that antelope manages to escape, what do you see it doing a few minutes later? Is it laying down? Is it looking behind itself for the lion? What you're likely to see is that its muscles may twitch. You may see, you know, its leg muscles twitch to discharge some of that energy. And in a couple minutes, it's back with its herd, grazing, and you can't tell it apart from any of the rest of its friends, right? Now, we humans have brains that are much bigger than an antelope. Right? We have these big brains with our prefrontal cortex, that's right, kind of right behind your forehead, that allow you to do amazing things, create music, artwork, drive while talking on the phone, have a conversation about planning a vacation while you're doing dishes or doing something else. Right? You may manage people or spreadsheets or do multitasking, and that's because your brain can do many complicated things that an antelope's can't. So once that antelope has survived being eaten by the lion, here's the trick question. What is it not doing? What it's not doing is something our brain allows us to do, which is keep that fight or flight response on in the body, even when there's no lion, even when there's no dog. So the dog or the lion may have actually been removed. The situation may actually be over, but the brain is conditioned for survival. We're waiting for the next one. So the alarm bells are still going off in the brain, and we have that same physiological cascade of events happening in the body. And when we've lived through stressful home environments, work environments, relationship situations, right, this takes a toll on the body. Right? A few things get jacked in the process. Our immune system is dampened. Our body doesn't care what random cold virus we just picked up on the doorknob because it's worried about survival. So people who've been stressed for ongoing periods of time often say they're getting sick more often, sore throats, colds. They just can't seem to fight it off like they used to. Cortisol levels of cortisol go up. That's one of the main stress hormones. Our cholesterol goes up. Blood sugars go up. Our endocrine system, which regulates our hormones, gets jacked. Often our insulin is going up. Levels of insulin are going up. And chronic illnesses start to creep in because you have a body working on overdrive. Everybody's body will start to give, and everybody's give may look a little different. So gives typically, when these chronic illnesses start to creep, can be things like cardiovascular disease. You had a heart working overtime. Eventually, it's going to get tired. Things like diabetes, cancer, infections. We may not be able to fight off infections the way we could have if we hadn't been stressed. Pain syndromes, things like arthritis, fibromyalgia, right? You have a body working really hard and its systems are overwhelmed. Our sleep gets disrupted. Anxiety and depression are chronic illnesses no different than a cancer or a diabetes. PTSD, this post-traumatic stress, can also come in. That's a very biological, physiological response to an overwhelming situation, to an abnormal situation. And when we have these systems affected by these experiences, it starts to contribute to actually early death, right? It's hard on the body. And what's the fastest, most effective way for interrupting this nervous system response? It's breathing, right? When we can change our breathing patterns in response to the dog coming through the door, we may not be able to change how our brain is responding in many ways, but we can control our breathing, which sends a different signal to the brain to respond in a different and more effective, more in control, calm response. So let's practice a brief breathing strategy right now that you can build on and that we will build on as we move through these modules. So wherever you are, I want you to sit up in your chair, right? Get comfortable. Maybe if you need to take off your glasses or adjust your clothing in any way, do that. And just feel your feet flat on the floor. It helps to uncross arms and legs. That helps with that blood pressure and circulation response that's happening in the nervous system. And just settle into your chair, removing any distractions. And if it feels right, you can close your eyes. And if you don't want to close your eyes, you can just kind of turn your gaze downward. Don't look at anything in particular. Just kind of glaze out for a moment. Good. So now you're settling in, feeling your body connected to the chair. Feeling your feet flat on the floor. And just turning your attention inward. Away from the busyness of whatever's happened today, before, now, of the thoughts, many emotions rumbling around, the to-do lists, the mind chatter, we all have it. And just settling in and noticing that you're breathing. Not necessarily trying to change anything about your breath, just noticing, oh, there it is. Right? Often we're so busy in our minds and in our activities, we don't really even notice that we're breathing. We're just moving through our day and getting through stuff. Good. There's your breath. And on the next breath, taking a deeper breath in through your nose and out through your mouth. Feels a little funny to breathe like this at first. It gets easier with practice. Breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. Just letting yourself, with every exhalation, sink into the chair a little bit more. Getting heavier into the chair and into the floor. And the next breath, as you take a deep breath in, see if you can get that air to move past your chest and all the way into your belly. So that as you breathe in, the belly expands almost like you're inflating a tiny balloon. We're not forcing it or pushing your belly out in any way. Just retraining the breath. So breathing in, the belly expands. And as you exhale, that tiny balloon deflates a little bit. And just following the breath as it moves in and out. As it moves in and out. And letting the abdomen be soft. So relaxing the muscles of your belly. You don't have to suck it in. Often when we're stressed, we hold tension in that area. So just consciously see if you can let your belly go. Let it be soft and relaxed. Still breathing. Breathing this way stimulates the relaxation response in the body. Actually stimulates the vagus nerve, which is the largest nerve running from the back of your brain all the way through your organs, delivering messages to your organs. The vagus nerve is like a fire hose, putting out fires inside. And breathing this way turns that hose on, turns that parasympathetic response on in the body. And to facilitate this process and to give the mind something to do, sometimes we find our mind pretty busy and jumping around. You can think the word soft as you breathe in and belly as you breathe out. So soft on the in-breath, belly on the out-breath. And just staying with the breath as best you can. Maybe you feel the air as it moves past your nostrils, down the back of your throat, through your chest. Maybe you sense the muscles that are working to make breathing possible. Or you hear the sound associated with this breathing. Just bringing your attention on the act of breathing in. Saying to yourself, soft as you breathe in, and belly as you breathe out. If thoughts come, just let them come and let them go. Knowing it's completely normal to get distracted. It takes practice to breathe intentionally like this. Whenever you find yourself distracted, just gently bring your attention back to the breath and back to soft belly. So we'll just breathe quietly like this for the next few cycles. Good. Just stay with it. Every moment is a chance to begin again. So whenever the mind goes down some rabbit hole, or if you're restless, that's okay. Just coming back to the breath, back to the physical sensations of breathing in, breathing out. Every exhalation, just letting go a little bit more. Maybe your shoulders drop. Maybe your arms hang heavy in your lap or on the chair. And just letting the muscles of your face relax. Muscles around the eyes, between the brow. The jaw. The neck, just letting yourself melt into the chair a little bit. Just noticing what it feels like to be in this moment, not judging the moment. Not evaluating whether or not you're doing it right or it worked or it didn't. That doesn't matter. This may be review for some of you. You may have practiced something like this in the past before. It may be brand new. It doesn't really matter. The only thing that matters is that you continue to turn your attention to your breathing. Getting those deep belly breaths in. And helping the nervous system get some extra air, just improving oxygenation to the blood. And helping the nervous system kick its relaxation response in. So just a few more deep breaths here. Breathing in energy and sending any stress or tension out with the exhalation. And when you're ready, coming back into the room, perhaps bringing movement to fingers and toes, stretching if you need to, and opening your eyes whenever it feels right. Okay, so how was that? What did you notice? What were your challenges, if there were any? Do you notice any change from before we did that little exercise to right now? What changes did you notice? Did you run up against any challenging moments or challenging points? Did you feel restless? Were you aware of something happening in your body that maybe you hadn't noticed so much before? It's not about if you're doing it right or wrong, or if you're feeling more relaxed now or not, really. It's about practicing this simple, short strategy to encourage the nervous system to shift out of its physiological response. Using this technique, which I call soft belly, can be very helpful in moments where you're overwhelmed, in moments where you feel like you might explode, in moments where you feel very irritable. Maybe you're in the car and somebody cuts you off and you feel your that tension and that feeling of your blood boiling, right? That's a great time to take a breath. Notice what's happening in your body when the kids are acting up or things aren't going your way or you've had a difficult interaction at work. And just take a deep breath. You don't need 5 minutes of sitting quietly with headphones removed from all the activities of daily life. You can do this in line at the grocery store. You can do this while you're talking to someone. Get a deeper breath in, changing the physiological pattern that's happening in the body's nervous system when we start to be affected by our environment. Right? If you can practice this regularly, repetitively, you actually build a muscle of resilience so that it becomes easier and easier to, one, notice when your nervous system is getting jacked, and number two, interrupt it. And it becomes easier, almost like your body is craving that. And so you notice much faster when you're not in a relaxed state. And the more you practice, the easier it gets to stay in a relaxed state. So if you had a difficult time right now with this, know that's completely normal and that can change. Doing this type of breathing changes lots of things, and something we can even talk about later about neural plasticity, about what is happening, the patterns in our brain are reversed and we start setting up new neural pathways. So practice this whenever you can. You don't need 5-10 minutes, right? But if you can carve out some time in the morning, throughout your day, to do little breathing breaks, the better. So great. So now we've talked about the biology of stress in that fight, flight, or freeze response. You have a specific short skill to use to start to interrupt that pattern. But now I want you to get a piece of paper. And I want you to start thinking specifically in your life. What have been some of the most stressful life experiences you've had? What are the top three of those? Right? Perhaps it's been situations on the job, incidents you've worked. Maybe it's been a situation with family members or a situation even when you were a kid. Right? How did those affect you? So I want you to jot down notes. This isn't just about thinking about it and having, you know, some thoughts kind of roll around about it. Let's start getting very specific. So if you need to pause this, get out your notebook, get out your journal, get a piece of paper, and come back. What are the top most stressful life experiences you have had? So take a moment to jot those down. Sometimes it's kind of hard to pick, right? It doesn't really matter what you pick. Just want you to get specific. And how did those situations or those events affect you? Did they get you down in the dumps? Did you get depressed? Did you get sad? Did you get worked up? Did you get irritable? Did you start getting more angry with people around you? Did you start maybe eating more or drinking more or pulling back from some of your activities, family events, social situations? Did it make you want to quit and get the heck out? Did it make you want to take off on a vacation? How did those stressful life events affect you? When you were a kid, right, we didn't often have control over the things that happened to us in our lives. But how did it affect you? Did it make you not trust certain people or feel pretty wary of getting close to other people? Right? We want to start noticing what your particular equation is and what the particular effects of stress have been in your life. It's your life. Your responses have been unique to you. So while they may be similar to other people or even similar to coworkers that have been through the same thing or family members that all lived through the same situation, the effects are very specific to you. And we really want to build this language of self-awareness so that we know how to improve and how to grow and how to start to control these signs and symptoms and effects in a new way. So when you think about those situations, did other people notice or say things about you during that time? Maybe they noticed, maybe they didn't. So maybe just note that if people said anything to you, maybe you got some feedback that you didn't seem like yourself, that you seemed off in some way. Did other people notice? And if so, what did they say? So take a couple moments. If you need to pause this at any point, just to reflect and write some things down, please do that. And when you think about those life situations, right, you have number one, number two, number three, maybe you have a list of five, that's okay. How did you react? What happened in your body, if you can remember, and if you take yourself back to those situations? Do you recognize any of those signs and symptoms that we talked about in that fight or flight or freeze response? Do you remember your muscles getting tense? Do you remember being kind of tunnel vision in those situations? Do you remember it taking a toll, feeling exhausted, not being able to sleep? How did it affect you mentally? Were you grumpy? Was it hard to think clearly or hard to focus? What was your emotional reactions in those situations? Were you pissed off? Were you filled with rage and jealousy? Did you feel guilty, ashamed, anxious, nervous, maybe sad? Let's start to look at what creates stress in your life and what your particular response is, because we're going to get really specific as we move through this program with recognizing each little marker and what we're going to do about it and what there is to do about it. How did you deal with that stress or those stressful life situations when they happened? So I want you to take the next few minutes, answer all those questions. What have been some of the most stressful life experiences you've had? How did they affect you? How did they affect you emotionally, mentally, physically? How did you react? How did you deal with the stress? Did you take it head on? Did you kind of retreat and go into your cave? Think about it. Let's get really clear on the answers to these questions as best you can. And it's okay if you just have a general idea, but let's start thinking about it. We're done with going through the motions. That's why we're gonna get really specific about learning about what's happening in our mind, in our body, in our thoughts, so that we know how to deal with these situations better moving forward. Okay, so if you need to pause this recording, and answer those questions, and then I'll see you back for the next module.